And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. Folks, I am hot off the National Prayer Breakfast. As a matter of fact, I don't mind announcing that I am right now in the rather elegant offices of the Family Foundation of Virginia, who had lent me space to do my program because I could not get all the way back to the east part, southeastern part of Virginia, to my studio. And I've stopped in the Family Foundation offices, beautiful offices, an old mansion here in Richmond, Virginia. But I've just come from the National Prayer Breakfast, and it was magnificent. And I'm speaking particularly of the President of the United States and his remarks. I've posted a lot of stuff, a lot of pictures on Facebook, so check out my Facebook page, E.W. Jackson SR, and my personal Facebook page, Instagram. It's all over there. A couple of videos as well. They didn't want you making too many videos because they didn't want people standing up blocking others' view. But where I could steal a video here and there, I was stealing some video and certainly some pictures. Folks, what I'm convinced of after the National Prayer Breakfast is how critical prayer is. Thank you for praying for American Family Radio. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for praying for our network, for our leadership, Tim Wildman and the staff that runs the organization, and for my producer. Folks, we need prayer. We need prayer because attending that breakfast just convinced me of how important what we do is. I mean, it's just critically important. In profound ways, we are doing what even secular conservative talk radio hosts cannot do, which is we are putting God front and center of this nation and its solutions. Without God, there are no solutions. Okay? Without God, there are no solutions. And with God, all things become possible. So we have my organization, STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny, has started a prayer time. It's called Stand in Prayer for America. Every Friday at 12 noon Eastern time, that would be 11 Central, of course, and 10 Mountain and 9 Pacific. And folks, if you want to get in on that prayer line, you can either email prayer@standamerica.us, prayer@standamerica.us, or you can email ewj@standamerica.us. In fact, I think the prayer email may not be working, but in case, ewj@standamerica.us. Pray with us, folks. Pray with us for our country. Pray with us for our president. Pray with us for our Congress. Pray with us for the governors and legislators all across this land, because we definitely need divine intervention, because there is some evil afoot in this country that is absolutely unreal and unrelenting. Now look, Nancy Pelosi was at the prayer breakfast. Yes, she was there. And the president, Vice President Pence was there. He did not speak. But the President of the United States was there, and he did in fact speak. And folks, you've got to hear some of his opening remarks, because he did not mince words. Listen to this.
As everybody knows, my family, our great country, and your president have been put through a terrible ordeal by some very dishonest and corrupt people. They have done everything possible to destroy us, and by so doing, very badly hurt our nation. They know what they are doing is wrong, but they put themselves far ahead of our great country. Weeks ago and again yesterday, courageous Republican politicians and leaders had the wisdom, fortitude, and strength to do what everyone knows was right. I don't like people who use their faith as justification for doing what they know is wrong. Nor do I like people who say, "I pray for you," when they know that that's not so. So many people have been hurt, and we can't let that go on. And I'll be discussing that a little bit later at the White House.
Now, folks, Nancy Pelosi was sitting not two, maybe three seats away from the president where he was speaking when he spoke those words. She knew exactly what he was referring to. And she knew exactly who he was referring to. And, you know, one of the things I think we've all come to love about this president who support him is he's not a politician. You know, no politician would have done that. A politician would have gone there and sort of given the usual bromides and said a couple of nice things and we need God and blah, 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 and going on about his business. Not President Trump. He came right at it. He let everybody know how he feels about what has been done to him. And he is absolutely right. He is absolutely right. And so, folks, Nancy Pelosi did a press conference after the prayer breakfast. And I had a chance to hear it because I was on the road coming here to my temporary studio to do this program. And some of the things that she said were just, you know, compared to what the president said was mild compared to the way Nancy Pelosi was talking. Folks, I'm convinced these people have lost their minds. And when I say these people, these leftists. And I'm not talking about Democrats versus Republicans, because it was, you know, Mitt Romney voted to convict the president. And so I'm not talking about Democrats versus Republicans. I am talking about right versus wrong. I'm talking about lies versus the truth. I'm talking ultimately about good versus evil. Nancy Pelosi said during her press conference, the president knows nothing about prayer and faith. Yeah, Nancy Pelosi said that. The president knows nothing about prayer and faith. And she does. She said that the president is disloyal to the Constitution. Disloyal to the Constitution. And she's loyal to it when she's using impeachment to overthrow a duly elected president of the United States, elected by 63 million Americans. And she is taking it upon herself and her leftist colleagues to try to throw him out of office. And this president, she says, is disloyal to the Constitution. I mean, folks, these people have no self-awareness at all. It is they who are disloyal to the Constitution, because one of the things the Constitution protects is the American people's right to choose our elected leaders. And she wanted to trample on that and throw it back in our faces and tell us we're too stupid to know who to elect as president. And therefore, they, the elites in Washington, D.C., will correct it. More to come.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Here's a trivia question. Why was the massive flu epidemic in 1918 called the Spanish flu? The pandemic originated in France and other countries, but news of it was censored during World War I. The pandemic only received greater press attention when it arrived in Spain in November. Spain was not involved in the war and had not imposed any wartime censorship. During that same time, the U.S. government also tried to downplay the Spanish flu lest it hurt the war effort. Paul Wolfowitz and Max Frost remind us that a Los Angeles health official declared that there was no cause for alarm. An Arkansas newspaper described the disease as merely the same old fever and chills. All of this was happening while people were dying by the thousands. By the time three waves of the flu spread across the nations, 50 million people died. Perhaps you can see where I'm going with this commentary. Censorship and secrecy make a deadly flu virus even more devastating. That is what seems to be happening in China. The Chinese Communist Party is all about social control and censorship. We really don't know what is happening on the ground. We do know that the Chinese government has been taking extraordinary measures to restrict movement and thus the spread of the disease. Perhaps the current actions are due to China's experience with the SARS outbreak that killed more than 700 people in 34 countries around the world. But we have to wonder if we're getting accurate information from a government that assured us last month that the virus was under control and merely a mild condition. Censorship back in 1918 took a deadly virus and made it more lethal because common sense actions were implemented too late. We can only hope and pray this time that we're getting good information. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Antisemitism, go to viewpoints.info/antisemitism. viewpoints.info/antisemitism.
Putting life in perspective with Harry Reeder.
What does it mean to act like men? Or the old English was play the man. Well, what does that mean? Well, a man is strong and courageous to do what he's responsible to do, and he is sensitive and compassionate in relationships. And it was that view of manhood that brought into our culture the concept of the gentle man. He engages in his responsibility. His word is his bond. He has courage and strength by God's grace to see his responsibilities through. Yet he doesn't run over people. He cares for people. He is a gentle man.
For additional Christian resources from Harry Reeder, download the Briarwood PCA app. Available at the App Store, Google Play, Amazon, and the Windows Store. In Perspective with Harry Reeder, an outreach of Briarwood Presbyterian Church, Birmingham, Alabama. Visit us at briarwood.org.
Brian Fisher here. The president starts his victory lap at this morning's National Prayer Breakfast. The Iowa caucus was so badly botched, the Democrat Party has taken it over. There's weeping and wailing among Democrats today. We'll let you hear a little bit of it. And a Democrat calls C-SPAN and says she and her family will never vote Democrat again. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And I am he. Folks, this situation has gotten out of hand. I've heard people describing Nancy Pelosi as unhinged, and now I understand it. Because look, here's some of the things that she said in her press conference today. She said, as I pointed out, the president knows nothing about prayer and faith. Oh, but Nancy Pelosi does. Of course, she's the expert on it, right? Because she prays for the president every day. Folks, I don't believe that Nancy Pelosi has a clue what prayer even is. Because if she really did, and she prayed, you know, prayer draws you close to God. Prayer actually brings you into intimate relationship with Him. And you cannot be in intimate relationship with God and enthusiastically support the killing of millions of babies in the womb. Now you support that and then tell me you know God, I say you're a liar. You don't know God. Because the God we know says choose life. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full until it overflows. Not death, not abortion, not baby killing in the womb. So please, Nancy Pelosi's got the nerve to condemn the president, saying he knows nothing about prayer and faith. I'll tell you what, I'd rather have the president praying for me than have Nancy Pelosi praying for me, because I believe that the president would be sincere in his prayers. And I believe that Nancy Pelosi does not have a clue. And here's what else she said. He's disloyal to the Constitution. She said that tearing up the president's speech was justified because the speech was a manifesto of falsehoods. A manifesto of falsehoods? What in the world was this whole impeachment debacle but a show trial based on a tissue of lies? And she's got the nerve to say that the president's speech was a manifesto of falsehoods? The president's speech was true. Everything the president talked about is true. It's happening. All that he talked about with regard to the economy, all that he talked about with regard to the things that he's trying to do for our military, for minorities, Americans of African descent, Americans of Hispanic descent, for women, all the things that he talked about doing for working people in our country. Those things are happening, folks. The opportunity zones are happening. The low unemployment rates are facts. It is Nancy Pelosi and her ilk who can do nothing but spin lies because the truth simply doesn't serve them well. And then she said this. The president's speech was not a State of the Union speech, but his state of mind. Oh, my goodness. And that the president should have honored John Lewis, not Rush Limbaugh. She said when he mentioned cancer, she thought of John Lewis. Well, John Lewis participated in the civil rights movement. And he's to be commended for that. Because the civil rights movement as led by Dr. King was a good thing. It was a good thing for our country. It was a good thing for all of our people. But John Lewis, as far as I'm concerned, has become nothing but a far left hack. And I don't dishonor his past accomplishments in the civil rights movement. But what he's doing in Congress now is a zero. But leaving that aside, if John Lewis has cancer, I pray for John Lewis. And I mean that. And I want John Lewis to be healed and whole and well. But that's not what the left is saying about Rush Limbaugh. And to suggest that the president should have recognized John Lewis and not Rush Limbaugh. There may have been other people in that audience who've got some sort of serious disease or life-threatening disease. The president was saying that about Rush Limbaugh because the president believes that Rush Limbaugh has served this country over the last 30 years, accepted every opprobrium, every encomium, every nasty name you can think of, even called recently a racist by Jim Acosta at CNN, and has just served this country with dignity and good humor and honor. Rush, as far as I'm concerned, is one of my heroes. God bless Rush Limbaugh. But she wants to make it about it shouldn't have been Rush Limbaugh. It should have been John Lewis. Well, she knows how to pray. She has faith. She can join me in praying for John Lewis, right? We can come in agreement for John Lewis's healing. I mean, these people, folks, are so full of the devil, it's really not funny. I mean, it really isn't. And look at this. This is something else that she said, which I took tremendous offense at. The other stuff, you kind of expect this stupid stuff to come out of their mouths. But you know what else she said? And this was deadly. I mean, she was trying to really attack the president in a very personal way. She said, he looked sedated to me. In other words, Nancy Pelosi actually said during her press conference, and the press may not have picked up on it because, you know, most of them, particularly these mainstream media, they're not the sharpest tools in the shed. But she was basically saying that the president was on drugs. Yeah, folks, that's what she was saying. The president was on drugs. And then she said, and he looked, I think she said that he looked sedated the last time and he looked a little sedated this time. So basically she's saying each time he's come before her, at least the last two times for the State of the Union address, he looked like he was inebriated on some kind of drugs. Folks, This is just beyond the pale. It really is. This president was sharp. He was articulate. He was eloquent. His timing was absolutely perfect. There's simply nothing. There's really no critique of that State of the Union message that would have anyone suggesting that there was something wrong with the president. He was firing on all cylinders. And this is what this woman comes up with? I'll tell you, folks, I've seen a lot over my years. But what I'm seeing in the politics of our country right now coming from the left, I find it shocking. Because they have gone so far off the deep end that you have to redefine what deep is. I mean, there must be something deeper than the deep end. Whatever that is, maybe it's the abyss, but you know, maybe that's what it is. They have just jumped into the abyss. He looks sedated. I tell you, Lord, have mercy on our beloved country and some of the misguided people who are trying to lead this country to destruction. And then she also capped it off with this little gem. Are you ready for this? Because this one's enough to make you laugh. I've extended every possible courtesy to the president. Yes, she actually said that. I've extended every possible courtesy to the president. Oh, my goodness gracious. And look, folks, don't get me started. Nancy Pelosi is the last person in the world who wants to start talking about somebody not being quite right, because the way Nancy's gestures don't match her speech and her head is all over the place and she's like a little bobblehead when she talks and her speech is all disjointed and staccato and her arms are, I mean, you know. You know, you want to say, well, Nancy, now that you brought it up, you know, maybe there is someone who's a little bit inebriated on the floor of the House chamber, and it's you. But oh my goodness, I just, folks, some of this stuff, it is very, very difficult to wrap your mind around it. You know what I mean? You know what it reminds me of? And I'm very serious when I say this, because in ministry, I've been around people with mental illness. I mean, when you're in ministry, you end up trying to help all kinds of people. And I've tried to help people with mental illness before. And part of the difficulty is that you can't fathom what they're getting at. You can't make sense of it. You know, you listen to them and you think, well, maybe there's something in there that's rational that I can use to anchor this person to reality. And there have been times when I found there's nothing there that would allow me to anchor this person to reality. They are living in a different delusional universe. And that's what I think when I hear listen to Nancy Pelosi talking. I'm serious. That's what I think. The woman is living in a delusional universe of her own making, apparently, except that because it's a cultic or cultish universe, all the other leftists who are with her live in it too. And they all affirm each other. Yes, the moon really is rainbow. Yes, the sky really is chartreuse. You know? Yes, down really is up. Up really is down. Evil really is good, and good really is evil. Folks, we'll be back in a moment. Start taking your calls.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He endured the pain, the hurt, and the cruel remarks only because of his great love for us. Because of all our hatefulness, our stinginess, our sinfulness, he died upon that ugly cross. He loved us enough to take every sorry thing about us upon himself and to pay for our unworthiness. He wanted us to have the best, and because of it, he died for us. He wanted so much for us to love each other, and because of it, he died for us. He wanted a world free of war and hatred and every other ugly thing, and because of it, he died for us. But we scorned him. We took his love and made fun of it. We beat him, laughed at his way, took him out and nailed him to two pieces of wood. Then we stood around, drank our booze, gambled for his clothing, and mocked him as he bled to death. For nearly 2,000 years now, he's been trying to get us to understand that this is his world and that no way will work in his world but his way. But we humans know more than he does, so we go on killing, robbing, cheating, and lying, making fun of him and his way. It isn't popular to be a follower of his. You'll still be made fun of, scorned, and laughed at. You can't get ahead in life by practicing his principles, so we're told, and we must all get ahead. We take followers of his and make them liars and cheats in our movies. We show them as weak, insecure, unstable people. Most of the time, we picture them as some sort of holier-than-thou hypocrite. We have twisted his way, perverted his teachings, misused his church, wasted away his material goods, and our world is still searching for that something that is missing. Man is still the only animal on the face of the earth that will kill for revenge, and we call him the only civilized animal. How great must be the hurt in his heart to see what he had planned for us and what we have done with that plan, to see what great things he has prepared for us, and then to see how we have scorned his way. To have love that would allow his own son to die for our sinfulness, and then to see that love refused. How patient he is. Why he did not sweep us away centuries ago is beyond our understanding. No, we can't understand it. No one can. But we can understand one thing, and that is that he loves us more than we can ever understand. We know he will accept us with all our ugliness and unworthiness. We know he'll give us life and love. We know his power is greater than death, and apart from him, there's no life at all. It seems that after 2,000 years, we humans would get around to trying his way. But, like he said, we're ignorant. And I guess that's one reason he died for us.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. And the lines are open. I'd love to hear from you on this. One other thing, you know, the Iowa debacle is still unfolding. And apparently the DNC has now stepped in to take over as if that is going to solve everything. I said yesterday, these people are not interested in the integrity of the electoral process, and they've been spending years now convincing us not to have voter ID, to allow illegal immigrants to register and vote, to allow them to vote in some cities. And you know what, in my view, they're reaping what they've sown. I think they're too cute by half, and they're going to reap the rewards of all of the lawlessness and disorderliness and utter disregard for the integrity of the electoral process that they have sown into the system. They're going to be the ones who reap the rewards for it. And we're going to keep operating with integrity, keep calling for voter IDs, keep making sure that only American citizens have an opportunity to vote. And we're going to reap the rewards for that. We meaning we people who believe in our Constitution, believe in our electoral system, believe in the rule of law, believe in doing things in a decent and orderly fashion, believe in actual fairness. Because, folks, I'm sure all of you agree with me. I am not interested in cheating anybody out of an election, even if I don't want them to get elected. I want the process to be fair, because if I do that to someone else, guess what? It comes right around to me. But here again, when you don't believe in God, and you don't believe that you reap what you sow, and you don't believe that you have to answer to God for your actions, anything goes. Or, as Karl Marx might have put it, the ends justify the means, and by any means necessary. And that's exactly what you've got the left operating as. 888-589-8840. Let's go to the lines. Let's see. We've got Ronald from Tennessee. Ronald, welcome.
Hey, brother. Semper Fi.
Semper Fi, man. Do or die. Hoorah.
That's right. Hoorah. Yeah, listen, I was driving their truck, and I'm going up the road, going back to Tennessee from Mississippi and listening to you. I appreciate you, brother. Appreciate what you stand for. Won't you just keep up the good work? I believe with all my heart that Trump was going to get acquitted. And I think one thing that this has done for the majority of the Republicans in D.C. is banded them together. And I appreciate you, and I'm praying for you, and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you, Ronald. Yes, it has banded the Republicans together, all except one, apparently, the inimitable Mitt Romney, who was pro-life before he was pro-choice, and then was pro-traditional family before he was against it up in Massachusetts, and then became for it again. And this man has absolutely, in my view, no moral core. And why he's now chosen to make himself some kind of martyr and making some kind of sacrifice to satisfy his own conscience, to me, that's all just a lot of feigned self-congratulatory nonsense. This man has never shown himself to have any kind of moral backbone. As I said before, when Mitt Romney had an opportunity to really take Obama to the mat during their campaign for president, he backed off like, I mean, he just became as wimpy as a wet noodle. And now all of a sudden he's Mr. Courageous. He's going to stand up. This is all personal stuff. I've heard people suggest that he's jealous of the president of the United States who's done what he could not do. And I think that's the bottom line. Okay, let's go next to Jerry on line four. Jerry in Texas, welcome.
Howdy. How you doing, brother?
I'm blessed, Jerry. How are you?
Good, good. So I just wanted to let you know that after what I witnessed from the State of the Union address and a couple of friends of mine and we were discussing, I called three of my, well, I have one representative in the House, which is Bill Flores, who's stepping down, he's retiring. But then I called Sheila Lee Jackson, who is from Houston, which isn't too far from where I'm at in College Station. And then I called Representative Al Green's office. So Representative Flores's office took my information, said they'd pass it along, very cordial, very polite, very professional, for what you would expect from a representative's office. Once again, Bill Flores is a Republican, and all I asked was that they take my information as a citizen that they represent, knowing that Bill Flores has already put some articles in place for censure of Nancy Pelosi. For what I understand is breaking the law, U.S. Code 18. Now, you're the lawyer and I'm not, and maybe you could help expound on the U.S. Code 18 or the legality of what she did as an official government document signed by the president, handed over constitutionally wise, is giving a report of the State of the Union to the officer of the House, which is Nancy Pelosi, and called Ms. Sheila Lee Jackson's office, had a very cordial, professional young lady answer there as well, took my information, and I do realize that I lean on the conservative side, and yes, I am white. And I find no difference in that. The lady was very cordial, very professional. I called Representative Green's office, and the gentleman that answered that phone, once I asked them to, and I asked all of them the same thing. They, Ms. Sheila Lee Jackson and Mr. Green, have said for months now that nobody is above the law, not even the president, and nobody is above the law. So I asked them, as a constituent in the state of Texas, that they would please prove to their people that they represent that they firmly believe that no one is above the law and that they would stand with the other representatives in the House if articles of cult of censure are passed to prove that they firmly and truly believe that no one is above the law. Now, Mr. Green's gentleman that answered his phone basically said that he couldn't believe that I have a problem with Nancy Pelosi just ripping up some papers, but not have a problem with the president basically coercing a foreign government to help him in his campaign. I then informed the gentleman that the system has run its course. He has been acquitted. Everything was laid out. I read the four-page document. Nowhere in it did he specifically say...
Jerry, listen, I appreciate you making the case. I appreciate you calling the congressman. I would encourage everybody to follow suit and challenge these folks exactly where they are. But thanks for the call, Jerry. Let's go to Janet in Texas. Janet, welcome. Janet, line five, yes. Are you there? There
yes,
you go.
Sir, yes, sir. I want to say thank you for serving our country. I know
thank you
served
Janet.
In our military, and thank you very, very much. And, you know, the State of the Union address, it was wonderful. Thank
yes,
God for President Donald J. Trump. And I support him 100% because he loves us and he loves our country.
Mm-hmm.
And he honors our country. And he honors our troops and our police officers, those that protect us. And the thing of it is, when Nancy Pelosi ripped up that in front of everybody, well, she essentially, to me, she says how much she loves America, for one thing. And, you know, in the Declaration of Independence, it acknowledges life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It all starts with life. And, you know, when President Trump said that he is making a motion that to end late-term abortion, then, you know, Nancy Pelosi, she is so much for abortion. When she ripped up that document there, to me, that just painted a picture of how she feels even about life. What if that was a baby? She just feels it's okay to rip old body to pieces, you know? I'm just saying.
Janet, listen, I think that everything they're accusing the president of is everything that they themselves are doing. They're ripping up the Constitution. They're attacking the lives and well-being of the American people with values that are completely contrary to who we are as a nation. Let's see if we can get one more in before we have to take a break. Gail in Mississippi. Gail, welcome.
Hi, Bishop.
Hi.
Hi, Bishop. Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you, yes.
I was calling in response to what Pelosi said about the president being on something. In my lifetime, I have found that people that accuse others of that, that's what they're guilty of.
Gail, I think you, in a very brief time, hit the nail right on the head. Because if you look at Nancy Pelosi and the way she expresses herself, you know something's wrong. I'm not sure what. Well, there's the president, as far as I'm concerned, shoots straight all the time. Back in a moment.
Your heroes. You are the ones that God has chosen to be a light in the darkness.
Christina Bennett on Focus on the Family Minute.
You are the ones that God has chosen as living stones to go head first into the head of Goliath. The abortion industry, with all of its money and power and mocking and broken people, because again, they're not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. They've been deceived by the enemy. Many women who are hurting are post-abortive. But we can help heal, and we can help transform their lives, and we can help save children, because God delights in them, every single one of them.
Hear more from Christina at familyminute.org.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
We've been waiting for new episodes of Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent. Well, wait no more. Ryan is back.
And I've got a world to save.
As Ryan and his mom battle quirky criminals, kids will love these 30-minute lessons on obedience, truthfulness, and respect.
You're my partner and my mom. That means we stick together no matter what.
Ryan DeFrady's Secret Agent from American Family Studios. Episodes 7, 8, and 9 are available now at afastore.net.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming fast, and we still have a few spaces left.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming to Pine Cove Camp near Tyler, Texas, March 31st through April the 2nd. The retreat is 3 days of relaxation and encouragement for pastors and their wives. It's a chance to address the challenges which are unique to a pastor's family. Pastor Bert Harper of Exploring the Word on AFR and his wife Jan will host the event. Our special speaker will be Dan Celia of Financial Issues, and it happens midweek, so you won't even need to miss a Sunday service. Materials, meals, and lodging are included in the cost of registration. But hurry, space is limited to just 30 couples. Learn more and register at repairingthefoundations.net. That's repairingthefoundations.net. Or call 662-844-5036, extension 300.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat. We'll see you there.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. Let me mention one other thing, folks, and that is that Nancy Pelosi also, during this press conference I mentioned, brought up the Charlottesville, Virginia situation and once again accused the president of siding with racists there. Now, this president has just done a State of the Union address in which he demonstrated what his administration is doing to help all Americans of all backgrounds, including Americans who happen to be of African descent. And Nancy Pelosi wants to try to sell that old saw that the president somehow sided with racists in Charlottesville. Folks, I said exactly the same thing the president said. There were people at that rally in Charlottesville who had nothing to do with the white supremacists and had nothing to do with Antifa, and they were on both sides of that issue. Some who felt that the Confederate statue should be down, but they weren't there with Antifa. Some who felt that they should not be touched, and they weren't there with the white supremacists. And that's what the president was referring to. And somehow he gets smeared once again with the race card. They just never quit, folks. They never, ever quit. So let me say once again, unequivocally, without any apology or compromise, President Donald J. Trump cares about every single American, and he doesn't care what the color of an American's skin is. I think he's demonstrated that during his presidency. I believe he's demonstrated that throughout his life. It's only because he's not siding with these Marxist socialist communists that they hate him, and race is now what they're using to try to smear him. But you know what? They just might as well forget it, because I think this president is on his way to an absolute landslide. We can't take anything for granted, but I think he's on his way to having the American people completely repudiate those who are trying to bring him down. Not because it's Donald Trump, the celebrity, but because it's President Trump who is serving the interests of the American people. Not because he's a Republican, but because he's trying to do what is right for our country. Okay, let's go back to the lines. I don't get started all over again. Let's go to John from Missouri on line one. John, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, Bishop?
Great, John. How are you?
All right. Hey, I'm not one for conspiracy theories, but, you know, the Iowa caucuses, and Mayor Pete had a stake in the company that made the app. And on the night of the caucuses, he kind of announced that he was the winner. And then when they started, kept tallying up everything. He was in a first a close lead. Now he's neck and neck. I think there's some kind of fishy. What do you think?
You know, I didn't know that, John, that Mayor Pete had a stake in the company that built the app. Has that been widely reported?
Yeah, I heard that today. I think on today's issues with them guys, they had mentioned that he donated $20,000. It was either him or Sandy, one of the two.
Wow. Well, you know what? Yeah, if here again, they keep accusing the president of corruption. I think that the Democrat Party is just rife with corruption from the Bidens and selling influence and buying the influence with the vice president by paying millions of dollars to his son to this kind of stuff. Folks, they talk about we can't trust the president with the 2020 election. We can't trust these Democrats with the 2020 election, frankly, because the more we hear, the more it becomes clear that they just don't care about election integrity. They only care about winning by any means necessary. So, John, thanks. Look, I wouldn't put it past them, John. I really wouldn't. Because, again, when you throw out morality and you say there is no absolute morality, well, then might makes right. Or whatever you have to do to get where you want to go is okay. And I think that's where they are. I think if they can lie, steal, cheat, and get away with it, I think they think there's no moral problem with that as long as it produces the desired outcome. So there you go, John. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Larry in Illinois. Larry, welcome.
Good day, Bishop. How you doing, sir?
I'm blessed. How are you, Larry?
I am blessed of the Lord and highly favored.
Amen. Amen. Great.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about Mitt Romney. I think it's high time that he left the Republican Party and flew his true colors, and he ought to found his own party, the What's in It for Mitt Romney Party.
Right. You know what, Larry, I like both those suggestions, right? You know, I thought about that maybe the Republican Party even ought to expel him and say, you know what, you just don't belong in this party. But I hadn't thought about that second suggestion, which is the What's in It for Me Party. You know, that would be perfect for Mitt Romney.
Yeah, it's perfect because he's just, you know, whichever way the wind's blowing, that's the way he goes. And I just, he no longer represents anything in the Republican Party. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and go. Thank you for your time, Bishop.
Thank you. Thank you for the call, Larry.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. God bless you, too. Folks, the number is 888-589-8840. We have some open lines. Speaking of this whole playing the race card, I don't know whether you all are hearing this or not, but folks, forgive me. I just have a particular antipathy to this garbage because I just think it threatens to undermine the stability, the long-term stability and prosperity of our nation and the ability of all of our citizens to enjoy everything this country has to offer. But once again, some nutcase by the name of Zerlina Maxwell is saying the Iowa caucus itself is the perfect example of systemic racism. There shouldn't be an Iowa caucus, she is arguing, because the majority of people in Iowa are, quote unquote, her phrase, her word, not mine, are white. And so the Iowa caucuses are inherently and systemically racist. You all see what I mean when I say these people have completely lost touch with reality. They just have. There's nothing. It's like, it's really dealing with them, listening to them is like visiting an insane asylum. You just walk out of there and you say, oh boy, these people really need help. What can we do for them? Well, probably not a whole lot, but pray for them. But let's try to get a few more calls in before we have to end the program. We got John in North Carolina. John, welcome.
Hey, Brother Jackson, former Marine, by the way.
Hey, man, Semper Fi.
Hey, real quickly, I was reading the other day, I actually heard it from a pastor on TV, was talking about in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where Jehoshaphat told the people of Israel, you know, we're going to praise God and let him work this out, and the enemy defeated themselves. And I see this happening in Washington, D.C. with the Democrats. What do you think about that? And I'll hang up and listen.
Wow, John, I know that passage well. I've studied it a lot. I've taught on it a lot. You are absolutely on target. What happened was that God brought confusion into their own camp, and the enemies destroyed one another because Jehoshaphat said, we don't know what to do, Lord, but our eyes are on you. And they were outnumbered because the Moabites and the Ammonites and another group was coming against them all at once. They united to come against them to destroy the children of Israel. So you know what? I think there's some prophetic wisdom and insight there, John. Thanks for the call. Let's go to Gary in Illinois. Gary, welcome.
Yes, Bishop. I thank you. I love your show, and I respect you very much. I appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I have three scripture references here in relation to Nancy Pelosi's husband. I'm praying for that man. Proverbs 21:9 says, better to live on the corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Proverbs 21:19 says, better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. Proverbs 27 says, a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with a hand. Amen?
Well, Gary, I have no idea what kind of wife she is, but if the scriptures you've read describe her, her husband has got a problem on his hands. But thanks for the call, Gary. We appreciate it. Look, folks, I don't know what her private life is like. And other than as a human being, I would like for her to live a decent life. I want that for all human beings. I certainly want that for every American. And, you know, which brings me to one more point. And I'll try to get another call in. I think we've got some open lines, but, you know, the number is 888-589-8840, by the way. One of the things I love about the president, and here again, I never felt this about President Obama. I really believe, as a caller said earlier, that President Donald Trump loves the American people. And you know, when we talk about patriotism, folks, when we talk about love of country, it is about love of our values, love of our system, our way of life, our culture. But it's also about love of our people. And I really believe that this president cares about our people. See, I just don't think you can fake that. And it's really clear to me from everything that I've witnessed that the left and these Democrat elites that run that party don't. They care about power. And I think that comes across too, that people are mere pawns in their game, which is why they can easily call the people. Now, I've never referred to the people who vote Democrat. I believe they're people who are Democrats because they were raised that way, and Democrats because, you know, mom, dad, you know, grandma, grandpa, and all of that, and maybe because they're convinced that the Democrats are going to help the poor. But it's these elites who are using their power to take this country in a direction God will not bless, the Constitution will not allow, and the people will never accept. Thank God for a president who loves us, because that president should. Folks, that's going to do it for today. Thank you for all your calls. Keep the faith. And remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.